whatever.
Love Talk Radio.
They weren't pale.
Yeah. I'm trying to look and see. Maybe here and there.
If I'm not mistaken, the oldest church is in Ethiopia, and that's like Eastern Africa, close to Arabia, Middle East. So,
I'm talking about the Jews that were in Palestine when Jesus was alive. They probably are more colored than them right there.
I can't speak on that, so I don't know for sure.
But I mean, I have to do the look at them like now. Where is?
Okay. Melanin, I get it when you're trying to separate black between, light, lighter, darker, melanin. But when you have melanin in your skin, period, you're black. Thank you. So,
Now, let me move to your shop. And let me put some things on the table right now. You're a Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
and no white person can be a Hebrew, right?
You have some questions.
Thank you.
Your question is...
I was about to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
A lot of churches, I'm pretty sure all churches, they're 501c3s, and I think that may prohibit certain things that they're allowed to talk about during services and all that, certain things they're allowed to do as far as fundraising and all that. So that may be the reason why they're not talking about police brutality.
Al Sharpton talks about it on the radio every Sunday and on MSNBC. And what is Al Sharpton? He's a black preacher.
I mean, if it's not in the church, I don't know. But I'm just saying, I just know they're probably like
he has the access network that meets every Saturday in New York City, and they deal with police brutality. They deal with black on black crime, which I happen to think personally that black on black crime is a bigger issue than police brutality. And I don't think that we will ever convince white people that black lives matter until they matter to us first. Until we stop killing each other, I'm more afraid of Tyrone wearing a hoodie than I am the white man wearing a uniform. And maybe that's just me. But I have a different perspective. I mean, I'm an old man. I served in the Air Force. I mean, I love my country. I respect its laws. I grew up at a different time. I was a Boy Scout. I started preaching when I was 13. So I have a very different perspective. Okay? But I do think that the black church, a lot of large black churches have taken a step back because now money is their God. Money coming.
Yeah.
So you start looking at those big boys on TV and in my book. Some of you have heard of a preacher named T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
I said, you get paid well when you score a touchdown. And what's an easy way to say a touchdown? TD. And you know what? When I was a student here, Jakes was a broke preacher from West Virginia. And he used to go to a church in Springfield called the Church of Jesus, and he used to speak in one of the saints' house. But then money got good to him. I'm not saying he doesn't preach sometimes what we Christians would say is a rhema word, but them guys are in the economic thing. When you preach, when you start talking about controversial issues, your economics get impacted. So you stay away from it. You stay away from fornication. You don't preach about that anymore because you got too many fornicators in your church. Go ahead.
The 400 years since the first African arrived in America in 1619, Jamestown, August 20th, which is coming up this year. And you want to know the solutions. Well, you cannot go to the New Testament for the solutions. You can't go to the Christ of the New Testament for the solutions, regardless if it's Yahshua, Yahweh Shai, as you all say, Jesus. It don't matter which one it is. Because the solutions aren't in that book. Nor can you go to the Quran to find the solutions, because the solutions aren't in that book. You would have to go to the Creator, because in the Creator's book, he's the only one that has spoken about the plight of the black man and woman right here in America. And I'll read this scripture, and then you can ask your question. It's in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. And in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, you're going to see where Yahweh gave a vision to Abraham. The first vision ever given in the scriptures. The first time the word of Yah came to anyone is in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse. And it states,
and he said unto Abel, know of a surety, if thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs.
Now you're going to be a stranger in a land that is not yours. We all know. We came over here in shackles. This ain't our land. A stranger in a land that is not yours.
And shall serve them.
And you're going to serve them. And we all serving them. You all are about to graduate college and have a big bill on your hands. And who are you going to have to go work for? The federal government. That's who's going to take your money. They still want the money I borrowed from where I went here. I ain't get it yet. Keep reading.
And they shall afflict them
400 years. Now that's what's going on here. You just talked about black lives won't matter to anybody till they matter to us. Police just shot down somebody someday this week. They just burned down 3 black churches in Louisiana. They shooting black babies and black boys and black women and beating up black women when they call the police because they being harassed. You afflicted for 400 years. And where did you hear that at? Where did you read that at? The only book that's talking about your plight, the book of Yah. And keep reading.
And also that nation, whom they shall serve.
That nation whom they shall serve.
Will I judge?
Who's going to judge them? No. Not Christ, not the Mahdi, not Muhammad, not Farrakhan. Yahweh's going to judge them.
And afterwards,
we're going to leave with great substance called reparations. So if you want to know where the solutions is in the book that everybody wants you to skip. They want you to go to the New Testament. They want you to go to the Quran. They want you to go to the Hadith. They want you to go to the Talmud. They want you to go everywhere but the book of Yah. Because that's where your solutions are. Hallelujah. And yes, you could be whatever color and be part of Yah's movement, but you cannot be a Gentile or a European and be a Hebrew.
What would a European be in Yah's movement?
He would be a convert.
He'd be a convert?
Yeah.
He wouldn't be a slave?
Some of them will be slaves.
So white people were going to be slaves in his movement?
Sure.
Are you holding the question?
Yeah, I get it. Go ahead.
He was saying that justice cannot be found in the New Testament, right?
What I said is that you cannot find the solutions to our plight in the New Testament because the New Testament doesn't speak of the plight of the black man and woman in America.
Revelation 13:10 against the justice for slavery. Mm-hmm. Into captivity shall go, into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
There is the patience and the faith of the saints.
Yes, and he got that from the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the first verse. Yeah. I'm just saying that what you read is in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. It says, "Who those who oppress you, you shall be there you shall enslave those who oppressed you. You shall rule over your captives. All through the book, the Most High says what it said in the book of Revelation.
Are you saying that that's what's going to happen in this country?
What's that?
That we're going to oppress white people?
No, I didn't say oppressing. The book didn't say oppress. It
okay.
said those who oppressed you, you shall rule over them.
Well, is that going to happen for us in this country?
We're going home.
Oh,
yes.
Christ was talked about in the Old Testament by David and by Moses. So
before you go there, let me ask you a question, because you say Christ is talked about,
yes.
right? Now, what's your name?
Sorry.
Sorry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, your name's on a document called a birth certificate. And before you were born, your parents picked that name. But that happens to everybody. But what you won't find is Yahweh. And none of these ministers on this panel can show in the Holy Scriptures the name of Christ, where Yahweh said Christ, where Yahweh spoke about Christ, where Yahweh mentioned his name, where Yahweh talked about his toenail. You won't find any book that the Most High spoke about Christ. Now I'll let you go to your scripture.
How about Messiah? Is it Messiah? Chosen one, anointed one. Is that what Christ is?
Well, I got a lot of people asking questions, but if we're going to have an organized discussion.
Okay. Go ahead, Zara. Okay, soon as Zara gets done, we'll go to our party. Go ahead, Zara. Go ahead, Zara.
Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise them up before them from among their brethren, like unto thee. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command them. Deuteronomy 18:18. And there's also Psalms 110:2. The Lord said, unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And Christ referenced that the Master said, didn't David at first call him Lord? So he's telling you that.
But
we
talked
about
him dying
in the Old Testament.
Well, do you even believe
in the Messiah?
Let me respond to his question,
okay.
And then I'll respond to your question,
okay.
And then you can ask. So the response to what you said about Deuteronomy 18, that's the Torah, and that was Moses teaching the people how they are to know the word of the Creator. And Moses let them know that Yah will raise up a prophet. And he has raised up many prophets to speak the word of the Most High in Yah's name. Now, Christ, not once, not ever, mentioned Yah's name, nor did Yah mention Christ's name. And a prophet is somebody that comes in the name of the Most High who speaks the word that the Creator gave them to speak. Deuteronomy 18 is a law of the prophet. Now, Psalms 110 was not even written by David. That's the common scripture that people go to. But Psalms 110 wasn't even written by David. Nor would David ever call anybody his master. He was a king, and Yahweh was his Elohim. And Yahweh said that David was a man after his own heart. And so, therefore, he didn't call anybody. I didn't cut you off. He didn't call anybody his master except Yahweh. And then, do I believe in a Messiah? I do believe in the Messiah, and the only Messiah that the Most High told us that we should look for is in the book of Hosea, the 3rd chapter, if you go there. This is the Messiah, and the word Mashiach, what does that word mean, brother?
The anointed.
It means the anointed, or the anointed one. Is Mashiach in Hebrew, Messiah in badly translated English, and Christ in Greek. And it says in Hosea, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse,
for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king.
Without a king.
And without a prince.
Without a prince.
And without a sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
And without an image. And without an ephod. And without a seraphim. But afterwards shall the children of Israel
shall the children of Israel return.
And seek Yahweh their Elohim.
And seek Yah their Elohim.
And David their Elohim.
Not Christ, not Jesus, not Yahushai, not Yahushua, but seek David their king. Because David is the name that Yah mentioned.
Let's go ahead. What troubles me about that is David is a murderer. David is an adulterer. David is a man who did many things. If you look deep into David's history, the man was a bloody murderer. And the Jesus that we serve is in the line of David. And that kind of tells us that, you know what, your family may not be perfect, but God can raise up one from a dysfunctional branch and give us a Messiah. To say that David is the Messiah, are you telling us that God is redeeming us through a murderous adulterer?
No. What I'm telling you is that Yahweh, first off, is not redeeming you to any man. Yahweh is redeeming us himself. Yahweh has raised up David to be the leader of the nation. It's in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. The fourth verse, it says David is the leader. David is the commander. David is the witness, not Christ. And you say David is a murderer. Everybody's mentioning David's sins, but Yahweh forgave David. And for one sin that he did. But then we don't want to talk about the sins of the Christ of the New Testament. The man that told you to go to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Let's see about this. You want to mention David's transgressions. I'd rather talk to a man that made a mistake and turned from his wickedness than talk to a man that told you to turn to wickedness. This man tells you, and you want to talk about solutions.
Okay, let me...
Hold on.
Okay.
You want to talk about solutions. Let's see if this is going to give us solutions in the black community today.
Okay.
Matthew 5, verse 39.
But I say unto you...
Christ says unto you...
That ye resist not evil.
Don't resist evil.
But whosoever shall smite.
Now, what does that mean? Let's just deal with that. He said, don't resist evil, which means now the Holy Scriptures, the book, tells you that murder is evil. But Christ told you, do not resist evil. So that means we should just be shooting each other.
Well,
we should be in Chicago like just shooting each other because we shouldn't resist evil.
What
homosexual will come up to you and say, get with me, you should just do it. So therefore,
and if thou shalt smite thee of thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Let him beat you down. What else did he say?
And if any man will sue thee at the law,
uh-huh,
and take away thy coat,
just give him your whole coat. Just give him your whole suit.
Let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile.
If they're trying to take you to go a mile, kidnap you to go a mile.
Go with him twice.
So why are we talking about human trafficking then?
That's a strange interpretation.
No, it's not. I'm just reading the book.
Interpret it correctly.
Illogical versus being illogical. He said that this is evil. That's the context it's in. It's scriptures where the Most High say resist evil. He said something different when we first started. Christ said.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High,
that's right, brother.
He would have said it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and here's what I say. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that the Jesus of New Testament don't exist, but when you want to make a point about it, you point out something he said and you don't agree with. But then you back off and say, but JC ain't real. And, I mean, you know, we had three or four-day conversation on Facebook where you folks had said, I know y'all be mad at me, but the JC in the New Testament, he ain't real and he never existed, and y'all need to take that, pack that bag and go home. You can't have it both ways. You know, I really don't. But what's your thought about, what's the solution for us? Does Islam give us any solutions?
See, my interpretation of everything is different. Because I look at everything like kind of like from a, I guess like a Afrocentric perspective. So, like, you know how like different groups of people or different ethnic groups or tribes in Africa, they have like different people they look to. I think religion is all like culturally perspective. So I don't know if you're gonna actually have one religion that guides the entire world. I mean, people can say that, but I'm not really sure because, like, you can't tell a Sikh person in India that.
What's the solution? Does Islam offer these people in here,
the descendants
of former slaves, does it offer us any solutions that's going to empower, that's going to re-empower our families, that's going to stop us from slaughtering each other in the streets of Chicago, like you pointed out? Is it going to, does it offer us any solutions? Because we have a plight now. We got 50% of black children being born are being born out of wedlock. And not only are they being born out of wedlock, they got a lot of fathers don't care about them. Plant the seed, sow the seed, and go and won't feed the seed that they planted. Our families are breaking down. Okay? And it used to be, and this is part goes to the black church. It used to be when I grew up, people got married. Y'all generation don't even want to get married anymore. Y'all just want to live together for by and large. Yeah? Am I wrong?
Huh? I want to be married.
Where'd y'all learn that? He's saying that our solution is to return to Yahweh, and that if we return to Yahweh and we follow His laws and commandments, and Jared would agree with that.
To some degree.
Where do you disagree?
I will disagree at the point that the Torah will get us functioning, but the internal damage that was happening from the time frame that you were born, the emotional spiritual conflict, the attitude, the disposition, the trauma needs Yeshua. Period. And Matthew chapter 5, when interpreted correctly, teaches us that justice is what Yeshua wants to see. Oftentimes, Elohim, Yahweh himself, says, I will repent of the evil that I meant for you. Does that make Yahweh evil? No, it doesn't make Yahweh evil for him to do evil. And so a lot of times judgment, if you know the Torah, you guys don't know the Torah, if you guys knew the Torah, a lot of times judgments are seen as evil. So imagine Bob and Jane got in a fight. When Bob and Jane got in a fight, the Torah says, okay, you need to make a recompense, you need to restore back Bob. And Bob says, man, you hurt me so bad, though, that's not enough for you to restore to me, man. I got to be allowed to slap you, too. Right? So Yeshua was like, okay, well, Bob's coming over, he's going to slap you. When he slaps you on that cheek, that's the judgment. That's the evil judgment. Turn the other cheek. Let him get both sides. Make sure that his soul is redeemed. What if the guy that broke up with you, ladies, came to your house one day and said, hey, ladies, I know I hurt you. The court told me to give you $50,000 for the pain that I caused you. What do I need to do for you, girl, to make things right in your soul? And you say, man, the way you did me, I'm going to kick you in your nads. You be like, okay, well, then kick me in your nads twice. That's all Yeshua was saying. Make sure that person comes to a place of healing in their soul. It's not about stupidity or something.
So you can't credit the news if you don't understand the old. If you really don't understand the old, you definitely don't understand the old.
I think that me and you would say that the law cannot be followed, right?
Correct.
Can't follow it.
Right.
Too much to it.
Too much.
How many of y'all got tattoos?
Right.
That's
what the
law says. Don't do it.
Let me quick take that little motion right there, which I said I wasn't going to say anything. But the law was so many laws. Then it broke down to 10 laws. Then you broke it down to 2 in the New Testament. And we still cannot follow that, which is treat your neighbor as Christ treated one another.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, we can't do that. We can't love one another.
We want to love our neighbor's wife, don't we?
Yeah, we want to love everything
too
else.
Too much of that. All right, go ahead, Isha.
Yeah, I want to ask y'all a question. If the solution is in the New Testament, as y'all are saying.
The church,
which teaches the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I say Christ don't exist. Yes, I say Christ don't exist.
Okay.
But the teachings exist. And if the New Testament is the solution, then please read the book of Luke, the 14th chapter,
And you said that it's only two commandments now. Love thy, what did you say?
The greatest of two.
What were those two?
To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul. And love your neighbor
as yourself.
As yourself. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Christ taught. In the book of Luke 14, read verse 26. Listen to this very carefully, people.
If any man come to me.
If any man come to the Christ of the New Testament.
And hate thou his father.
And you don't hate your father.
And mother.
And you don't hate your mother.
And wife.
And you don't hate your wife.
And children.
And you don't hate your children.
And brothers.
And you don't hate your brothers.
And sisters.
And you don't hate your sisters.
Yea, and his own.
And you don't hate your own life also.
He cannot be my disciple.
Then why are you talking about weak? That's why you can't follow. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love your neighbor. Christ told you to hate everybody in your community. And let's not stop there. Let me show you why the Quran can't be a solution. If you go to the fourth surah, out of verse of surah 4, was it 34? Yes, 34. I'm going to show you what's going on in our community. You got a New Testament that teaches you to hate people, then tells you to love everybody. That's a contradiction. You got a New Testament that tells you to be submissive to your masters, even the mean ones that beat you without cause. Because if you take that beating without cause, then you're like Christ who died for you. So I'm supposed to just let you whoop me. That's why we've been in captivity 400 years.
So you say what?
I'm saying that they teach you to be a slave. And I'm also saying they teach you to hate each other. But then you got to love Christ, and Christ loves you, but he taught you to hate everybody. And then the Quran also teaches you dysfunctional community relations. In Surah 4, Ayat 34, men are the maintainers of women, with the deity has made some of them to excel others. And with that, they spread not out their wealth. So the good women are all obedient, guarding the unseen as the deity is guarded. And as to those whose part you fear desertion, which means if you think your woman's about to leave you, you should admonish them, warn them, and leave them alone in their beds. Don't lay with them. And chastise them. What? You supposed to beat them? This is the problem. That's why you got all these people locked up in prison today.
Are you saying that women don't have a submissive position in the hotel?
I'm saying that the Quran gives a man the authority to beat his wife. The Quran gives the man the authority to prostitute the women in his community.
Okay.
The New Testament tells you to not resist evil. So that gives you the authority do anything
in
you
the
want.
Old Testament, I got you.
So where's your solution?
So wait a minute. In the Old Testament, if a child is disobedient to his parents, isn't he stoned?
That's in the Old Testament,
yeah.
If a child is a drunkard and a glutton and he has not adhered to the warnings and the teachings of his father and of the elders of that city, then yes, you stoned him.
Okay.
You're stoned.
I don't get that any different way.
I was saying that the New Testament is a slavery teaching doctrine. It teaches you how to be in slavery, not free. We want solutions in the black community today. You can't go to a doctrine that's telling, look, Romans 13, just look at this. Who don't like Trump in here? Y'all want to raise your hand? Y'all on camera. Who don't like Trump? I don't. Y'all on camera, just letting y'all know.
But you know what? From my perspective as a Christian, though, there's some things that I like. I like the fact that he abortion. I like that as a Christian.
But don't start supporting him because I said we on camera.
No. Sorry, Big Daddy.
Now I want to show y'all this. Just look at this. Romans 13, verse 1. Just look at this.
Go ahead.
Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power.
Let every soul be subject to the higher power.
But there is no power but of God.
Mm-hmm.
The powers that be are ordained
by the
God.
Powers that be, the United States government, Donald J. Trump,
Barack Obama,
Barack Obama, are of God, keep reading.
Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power.
If you resist them,
you resist the ordinance of God.
You're resisting the Most High.
Okay. Now, what book is that in?
That's in Romans.
Okay, now here's my point. He's talking to a Roman audience. He had, at that point in time, the United States of America had not even been birthed or conceived. You are taking it out of context. He is writing to the Romans, and the Romans are subjected to the powers. So to take that to say that applies to us here, that is absolutely wrong, wrong, wrong.
Okay, well, where's the book of blacks in the New Testament then? Where's the book of blacks in the New Testament? Since he's talking to the Romans.
Let's go to Luke 4:18.
Where's the book of blacks?
No, that's a false white doctrine.
So he asked if white people get cursed, black people get cursed in the Bible, and yes, black people are cursed in the Bible. And I'll show you that.
That goes back to that whole Noah's Ark thing.
No, that's not the curse I'm talking about.
Okay, what do you got there?
Higher power, if you take that and you talk and you speak and you reference it to today, all I'm saying is, if you keep God's laws, you will not be in transgression without the law. Because the law of America is based on some of God's laws, like don't kill, don't steal, stuff like that. Like,
so
if you keep God's laws in attendance and do it, you wouldn't be in problems with God.
Okay,
did you say that? You textualize that. That's written to the Romans.
But let me ask you, off of what he said, if you keep the Creator's laws, you won't conflict with the government's laws. Well, the government is trying to make it a law that you have to vaccinate your children. And in these vaccines, it's pork blood, chicken blood, octopus blood, and all kind of other nasty stuff that's in these vaccines. And I teach people that you shouldn't go and get these vaccines. And if you go by the government, now you have to break the Creator's laws. And what Romans was saying is that all power, it didn't say that all the Roman government, it said all the powers that be, all of them. And so if all of them are appointed by the Most High, which they are, but if you go against them, it's saying you go against the Most High, which you're not. Because Trump, though he's appointed by the Most High, because that's in the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter, it says that he set up all the kingdoms of the earth. But if you go against Trump and say Trump is evil and Trump is wicked and Trump is a fool and protest against him, Yahweh's not going to smite you. Yeah. But this is a slave religion. That's just another example of the New Testament teaching you slavery, teaching you to be subject to the people that oppress you. You want solutions, then we have to stop listening to our oppressor's manuscript.
Okay, let me say this, though. I don't care if you don't get your children vaccinated. Don't send them around mine. Because I believe that the science is there that says that vaccinations are 97%, and we are in a panic right now because people are getting measles, because people are not vaccinating their children. Keep your children at home. If you don't bring them out in society. If you don't want them vaccinated, that's your business. But don't bring them around. Don't put everybody else's children at risk because you don't want to do it. You know, and I tell people all the time, all of us in here, at some point in time, you're younger, you're healthy now, but keep living. You're going to need medicine. How are you going to turn your back on medicine for diabetes or high blood pressure or cholesterol and say, I'll take that, but this other medicine, you can't use science in one way that benefits you, but then reject it in another way. You know?
Let me say this real quick and then we'll go to audience. Because you said something that's important.
Okay.
You said, how am I going to reject medicine, but then if I have diabetes? Well, I had diabetes. And you know what? I don't have diabetes. And you know how I don't have diabetes? Because Yahweh healed me of diabetes. Because in Yahweh's book, it told me not to eat certain things. It told me not to do certain things. And I followed it to the law. And I don't have diabetes. I got the papers to prove it. And that's the word of the Most High that healed me of diabetes. So we don't need medicine. In the Holy Scriptures, it tells you, you're talking about solutions for the black community. That's very important. We are the sickest people in the country. You have, and you asked about these curses. Let me just say this real quick. Let me say this real quick, because she said she thought black people were cursed in the Scriptures. and I'm going to show you that we are. Go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter.
Why he's looking for that? Because he has a question. Oh, what? Okay, what's your question real quick?
So let me finish the statement.
Yeah. Like what you said about vaccines was kind of ignorant because of the fact that you can get a vaccine. The vaccine is injecting the disease in you. It's having your immune system fight off the disease and become immune to it. That's what a vaccine is for. So even if my child does not have the vaccine and your child goes gets the vaccine, your child can get sick and my child can be perfectly fine. Your child can get the measles while mine doesn't. Just because we get to the vaccine doesn't really mean anything. Because I'm a prime example. I know for a fact when it's like the third grade, you got to get your chickenpox shot. I got my chickenpox shot, got chickenpox. Ain't never had chickenpox. Ain't nobody in my class had chickenpox. Got chickenpox.
Okay, but that does, because that happened to you, that is not the rule of thumb. I was listening to this on NPR last night. They had a team of doctors on there to talk about, because we are in a panic now because people are getting the measles. And the measles are deadly. So what I said was not ignorant. What I said is based upon science, and that is that the vaccination is 97% useful. And again, I'll say, if you choose not to have your kids vaccinated because that's what you feel, good. But keep them at home. Don't expose other children to the danger of measles.
And then, I think
like
you're right. You should keep your children at home and don't expose them to the dangers of the things that's going on in the public schools anyway.
Yeah.
That's a good statement.
Yeah,
because they're teaching you.
I have a question for you, because truth is always consistent. And you said that if your children are vaccinated, then those that are not vaccinated, you should keep your children at home. Well, if vaccinations work, how is my child not being vaccinated going to affect you if vaccines work?
I'm going to answer that. Because the vaccination is 97% valid. So you got 3% of the population that will get it that may still get measles, and measles is deadly. Look it up. Measles is deadly.
But let's get back focused on the solutions. Because there was a question about, are black people cursed in the Bible?
Right.
And it's in Deuteronomy 28. The 36th verse.
And it reads, Yahweh shall breed thee, as thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment.
You're going to become, and you know what, I want you to start a little earlier, in the 35th verse.
Yahweh shall smite thee in the knee.
Yahweh is going to smite black people because the children of Israel are black people. The children of Israel are you all. You are the children of the Creator. And Yahweh said he's going to do this to you if you don't follow his laws. He's going to smite you where?
In the knee.
Uh-huh.
And in the leg.
With?
With a sore body.
Which means inflammation.
They cannot be healed.
They can't be healed. That's why we all sick today. And it's a bunch of inflammation.
From the sole of thy foot.
From the sole of your foot, your grandmammy, your grandpappy, your auntie, your great aunt all got their foot cut off.
Unto the top of thy head. Yahweh shall breed thee as thy king, and thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known.
And as Israelites, we didn't know about America.
And there thou shalt serve other gods.
And when we come over here, we're going to serve other gods, not Yahweh. You're going to serve other gods.
Wood and stone,
the Christ on the cross, and the black stone they throwing stones at in Mecca. Uh-huh.
And thou shalt become an astonishment.
Astonishment?
A proverb
called black the porch monkey.
And a byword.
They're going to call you a nigger, a negro, a coon, a color, African-American, Afro-American.
And amongst all nations, where they die shall lead thee.
This is the curse that is on black people. Because we turned away from the laws of the Most High. So the solution is to return back.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so is that verse or that section, is that referring to people that have leprosy at all? Because
no.
When you have leprosy, doesn't your skin turn black?
He had a really interesting concept, Robert. Leprosy.
No. The leprosy does not make your skin turn black. You want to know what color leprosy makes your skin turn?
Yeah.
It's in the book of Leviticus, the 13th chapter, the 13th verse.
He got a real.
I don't have an interesting commentary on anything. I have the word of the Most High.
Okay.
And while you was reading that 28, would you read 28:1?
Yeah, let's hear that 28:1, because that's a very good point.
And it says, if this shall come to pass,
mm-hmm.
if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh.
If you listen carefully to Yahweh, not Christ, not Muhammad, but if you listen to Yahweh.
To observe and to do all his commandments.
All his commandments.
Which I command thee this day.
Uh-huh.
That Yahweh Elohim will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
That's right. And then it says, and he will bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey, and you'll prosper in that land, and you'll be blessed in that land. But you know what happens if you don't do what he said? He takes you out of that land by way of ships, which it says in the 68th verse, where you should be sold for bond men and bond women. And no man shall redeem you.
You want to say what, Pastor?
Well, I just like how he interprets the end of the verses, the 54 verses of the cursing, but leave out the blessings of the beginning of the verses. So we can be blessed, and we can have the prosperous things. We can be, as long as we obey him.
Obey who?
God.
Who is that?
Our Heavenly Father, the Creator.
What is his name?
God, the Creator. You call him Elohim and others.
No, what did he call himself?
He said God.
He has many names.
Did he say he have many names?
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha.
What y'all are noticing is that you got ministers up here not telling y'all what the Bible teaches them. Did you go to theological seminary?
Yes.
Did you go to theological seminary? What did they teach you the name of the God was in theological seminary?
I just said it.
Right.
Yeah, many names.
See, that you got ministers that's not going to tell y'all a very important solution. This is a very important solution. I need you to look at this. The book of Yoel. This is a very important solution. Or Joel, as you might know it.
Are you still kind of like y'all have come to the same?
Me and him?
Because he was saying some stuff he agreed with you, but not.
Joel is a Hebrew. He's a Hebrew.
He's a Hebrew Christian.
What's the difference?
Or what is the technical?
he's not a Christian.
You're a rabbi. Right?
I am a true Hebrew. I'm what a Hebrew is supposed to be. I'm a biblical Hebrew.
Right.
Where he read Genesis chapter 15 and talked about, you know, brought to slavery, I'm looking at Genesis chapter 15 and say you'll also find Messiah. Where he will see David in Genesis chapter 15.
So, do you think that David is the Messiah?
I believe that David is a Messiah. He's not the Messiah. David is a king. He will be a king, but he's not the king.
Okay.
I think David is more than just a murderer. I mean, he killed 70,000 people because of him. 7,000 people died because of him.
Yeah.
We just look at that one thing. Other things he's done.
Okay.
So let's look at this, and then we can move on. Because I asked y'all what's the name, and y'all not going to say it. And there's a problem with that because there's a solution, and it's salvation.
I'm not afraid to say Jesus is the
name. Okay, but look what it says.
The name is given to man, whereby they may be saved. And that name is Jesus.
Right.
And I get it that that's not the way you would say.
But I wanted to see what the book says. What's
saying
in the book? I know. In the book of Yoel 2:32.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh.
On the name of Yahweh. Because that's what it says in Hebrew. Because that's what his name is. His name is Yahweh. Nobody up here want to tell you about Yahweh except me. Because Yahweh is the Elohim. And all those that call on the name of Yahweh, and they learned that in theological seminary. All of those that call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. All those that call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered.
For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered.
And that's how you get saved, calling on the name of Yahweh. Now, if you are a minister of the Holy Bible and you can't tell people that, then how can you offer solutions?
I would tell you go to Romans 10:9-10.
And let's go to the book of Romans. 10:9-10. Because that's a book that's only to the Romans, as Dr. Evans said.
Read the scripture.
No, again, you misinterpreted what I said. You have to contextualize things.
All I'm doing misinterpreting things. I'm just telling you what y'all said.
We're going to talk about certain things in the book of Romans
because it's not, there was not a church there. Paul wrote them a letter to encourage them. Okay? So you got to contextualize it, which is something they taught us. It's called exegetical interpretation, is what they call us in Scripture.
Yeah, that's what they taught you. But what did Yahweh teach you?
Romans 10.
Go ahead.
Nine.
Read. If you confess with your mouth.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
believe in thy heart,
Lord J.C. shall believe in thy heart.
J.C.? I'm sorry, what?
For the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah, he's not going to mention this name.
Okay.
Because that's a false deity's name. Now, I showed you where Yahweh, the creator, the father of Christ. And y'all know Christ had a father. In John, St. John 17, in what? 20, he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. For I go unto my God and your God, which means he had a God, which means his God has a name. And go to the book of Revelation.
Okay, but
hold on.
Let's not skip over what he said at the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word
okay,
was
you
God.
Got, go
and
ahead.
The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, you want to see anybody can go to a Bible conference and say, I'm gonna pick up Deuteronomy here, I'm gonna pick up Isaiah here, and I'm gonna completely ignore all the scriptures that talk about the Messiah, wounded for my transgressions, where did I get these wounds at, in the house of my friends, and then so because I can use the devil. You can go over all of that to make a point. And that's what we call proof texting. They teach us that and say that. All you're doing is proof texting. You got some things that make sense, but you overlook a whole lot of stuff to come to your conclusions. And I got to lose the critical thinking here. And I told him, you're going to make a valid argument, but it is unsound because you base it up on false.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Evans. And what was his name again, brother?
Charlie Davis.
Mr. Charlie Davis. Let me ask y'all this. And everybody that's on the panel. If we're dealing with solutions,
the church
right?
is a solution.
If the church is a solution, if Yahshua is the solution, if the Quran and the teachings of Islam is the solution,
I didn't say that.
No, because that's what's on the panel.
Okay.
If this is the solution, I want to just ask y'all, what was the nationality of Yahshua?
He was a semi-Jew.
He was a Hebrew.
Yeah, okay.
What? Who did the Quran tell you that had the prophets? The Quran in the 10th surah, around the 97th verse, it tells you who the prophethood belongs to. Well, it belongs to the Hebrews. The word of the Most High comes from the Hebrews. But everybody wants to take the word. Everybody wants to take the word of the Most High, and now you have to go to Yahshua. How is that a solution? If he died for your sins, then why are you still dying? If he's to redeem you, where is he at? It's been 400 years, as I read in the beginning. It's been 400 years. Where is he at? Yahweh's the one that told us how long we're going to be here. He told us what he's going to do. He's going to come get us, and he told us what we have to do to get saved. We have to call on his name, and none of y'all want to do that.
Okay, let's do a couple of questions, and then we got to wrap it up. Okay, what you got right here, quick?
I had a comment and a question.
Go ahead.
I think everybody was talking about, you know, critical thinking scheme coming up. So I got a critical thinking question.
Okay.
We start on food, because it's all in effect. So John 3:16, you know what I'm saying, we're going off of what's in the Bible to be correct and accurate, so people won't get confused when we talk about contradictions. And I saw how we all can have a different perspective on what's being said, but when I say it's right there, and if you're teaching that to a child, I can see how it's respected. It won't be, you know, it's not evil. But I'm asking the question, John 3:16 is calling Christ the only begotten Son. My statement is that's a heavy statement. That's a real heavy statement. And I ask all the question, like, how many of y'all read the Bible? Like, you all read? I'm asking that to, like, make y'all feel type of way, because if y'all don't have this conversation, it's going to be easy to know who you want to talk about if you read. So, contextually, if he said Christ is the only begotten Son, what does that make with the Old Testament? What does that make other verses when the Most High is representing a son and it's not Christ?
Israel is a son too.
No, Israel's not a son too. Israel's the firstborn son.
Yeah. But is Israel a son? That's symbolic language.
No, I mean, okay, well, that's up for the reading.
Psalms 27, the Most High begot David. So critical thinking, I'm asking you, can you determine the lie from the truth? Because if Jesus be only begotten son, that's a statement. That's the statement they got to hold in court. That's the statement they got to hold in the block. No matter where you go, you preaching, Jesus is the only begotten son. My father's a pastor. You know what I'm saying? Well, he was a pastor, whatever. But I don't support that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm critically thinking. I'm asking y'all, like, only begotten son, that's one. I asked my mother. My mother got two sons. I'm the youngest. How many sons is only? How many? That's basic math. That's one son. So, is the Most High liar for saying he begot David in Psalms 2 and 7? Contextually, that's David speaking. The Most High has begotten me this day. So how you going to come after, that's the New Testament, the New Covenant, and say something different? So my beef is, why you all mad that we go to the Most High? We say we're going to go against that.
I'm not mad. What I will do is I will force real exegetical skills, and I know what proof texting is. And proof texting is very dangerous. When you jump around and you go to a verse here, you go to a verse there, and you don't contextualize it like you did with Romans, the whole thing about being a begotten son, Israel as a nation is symbolically called a son. It's not a son like a child. And if you can't capture that, then I can't take you to another level.
So basically what you're saying is Israel is a symbolic son, but the Christ in the New Testament is God's child, because God came down and slept with a woman because he couldn't make his own woman. So he came down and slept with a woman. He sent the Holy Ghost and slept with a woman because he couldn't make his own woman, and he had to have a child with a human, and he the Most High. But we, Israel, this is what Yahweh said. Yahweh said this in the book of Deuteronomy. We ain't got to turn there. I'll recite it. In Deuteronomy 24 and 16, the Most High said, the father shall not die for the son, nor shall the son die for the father. In Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, he said the same exact thing. And he also said, if you want to be saved, you got to turn from all your wickedness. He never told you that you got to call on his son to be saved. He never told you that. Now, I don't reject the New Testament. Yahweh rejects the New Testament. And since Yahweh rejects the New Testament, I reject the New Testament. You can't just put it on me. It's the Most High that told us that book was farce. So therefore, how do we use that as a solution? You have this New Testament, and this New Testament has not saved any black person in America. Not one black person has been saved in America by the New Testament. In the book of Mark, I think it's the 13th chapter, it tells you that if you believe on Christ, you will do miracles, you will heal the sick. Go, Dr. Evans, let's go. Come on, Dr. Evans. You a minister, right? You believe in Christ, let's go to Children's Hospital of Cincinnati, let's go heal some sick people. With what Christ says. But you got hospitals built in the name of Christ, and they not healing anybody. How is the New Testament a solution when they're not healing nobody? I just sat here and I proclaimed, and I've got papers to prove it. It's the word of Yah that healed me of diabetes. And I can teach you how to heal it, not only diabetes, but we can teach you how to heal of being evil. And the only thing you got to do is stop going to church on Sunday.
Okay, it's ready to wrap it up.
That's a good wrap right there.
I just wanted to show you, well, Zephaniah 2, verse 9, says, but then will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. In that day, when he turns to the people on unity, we will call on them with one consent. It's not here yet. Now, the approval of Christ in the New Testament, in Luke 21, where it talks about the south of Jerusalem, 70 AD by Titus and Vespasian. Luke 21:20. Now when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. This is Christ prophesying for the fall of Jerusalem. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountain, and let them which are in the midst thereof depart off, and let them that are in the countries enter there and 2. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
Yeah, and Christ also said in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, around the 35th verse, he said that this generation, his generation he was speaking to, shall not pass until he see the Son of Man come with all the glory in his wings. And that generation had. Christ died, Paul died, Peter died, Simon died, they all died. They got hung upside down and their heads got chopped off, and they all died, and nobody got saved.
That was the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Okay.
We'll give it all honor, all glory, all praise to the Holy One of Israel by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, the whole question, and it's an interesting topic, is what is the solution? And what I'm hearing is, it's only one brother that's bringing the word of the Most High. The same way that we got into this is the same way that we're going to get out of this. We got into this by disobeying the Most High. So what Yahweh is saying is, in order for us to return and get out of captivity, we got to return to the Most High. Now, if we got to return to anyone else, all truth has to be consistent. So if it's the truth, it has to be consistent. And I've been hearing a lot of people saying, well, I don't like David because he was a murderer and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
Well, no. Let me finish my statement because we're going to go to the book
that's
that if you
true.
Are a Christian, that's this is what
true.
You believe.
Is David a murderer?
David was a cold-blooded killer, and nobody could stand in David's shoes. David is the one Yahweh said he's returning.
In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and the 16th verse, it says, I, J.C., have sent my angel to testify unto you, these things in the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David. But then he ends with saying, the bright and the morning star.
And what is the bright morning star?
Lucifer. This man tells you he's Lucifer. Now, how in the world are we going to be saved by trusting in Lucifer? The same man that you said that we have to be turned to is the same man that say, ye worship, ye know not what. But we know we worship for salvation is to the Jews. So how is salvation going to be through Christianity? How is salvation going to be through Islam? How is it going to be through anything if you believe in this? If you believe this, then how can you call yourself a Christian? And speaking about murder, how can you speak about murder when you say you worship a man named Jesus? Our people came on the boat. Slaves were called the good shit Jesus. Both people have been murdered in the name of Christ than ever David could ever put his hands on.
Okay, but you cannot blame that on Jesus. That is Christian doing that. It's just like saying every Muslim is responsible for running the planes in the tower. I had an ignorant person say to me the other day, because that guy that threw that kid over the rail in the Mall of America was smiling, said, see, that's what we get for letting them in this country. I said, that was the act of one sick person. You got tons of Somalians that live in Columbus, that live in peace among us, and in Minnesota.
So what do you call? They're not gonna deal with it. Well, what do you call? You said that was the act of one sick person. Well, what do you call the act of 400 years of a whole group of people oppressing us? What do you call that? Just a group of sick people? You call this country just a group of sick? This is a country that is they done ran through the whole world.
You know what? And let me just say,
what do you call that?
We'll wrap it up. We had a two-term black president named Barack Obama. Yes or no?
Yes,
okay.
You do.
Okay, now, okay, that's okay. He just told you, one drop of blood makes you old. But here's my point. We had a two-term president named Barack Obama. Black people in this country did not have the power to elect anybody to be president. There were a lot of white people that embraced that brother and put him in office. And if you don't believe that, go and look at the voter registration. Now, as far as the whole thing about him being Lucifer, being Son of the Morning, I get it that says in some way. But you know what? Christ is greater than that. And what he's really telling you symbolically is that he's the grace of all angels. He is God's greatest creation. But let me say this, and as we're going to wrap up, all religion is about faith. All religion is about faith. The Buddhist has faith in what he believes. The Hindu has faith in what they believe. And this is what I said, and I said this to you a lot. If what you have is working for you, stick with it. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord because Jesus has worked for me. And there's nothing that you can tell me today that's going to change that. And what you have, and you know what? we may actually match each other. I love his brother. I love his brother. I respect his brother. And he introduced me to a mighty man of God. His Moray. And I believe his Moray is walking down streets of gold. Because the Bible says, blessed are those with a pure heart, for they shall see God. This brother got a pure heart. And he ain't making up that he got healed of diabetes because he talked to me a long time ago about it. Now, the brother did try to talk me out of getting that hip surgery. I went ahead and got it anyway. But that hip was killing me. But you know what? He told you something else. He told you that a lot of the things that we endure to stress us up is because of inflammation. And any doctor will tell you that. He's no dummy. We just happen to disagree theologically about something. He's no dummy. Absolutely no dummy. And what I'm telling you is that some of you in here, you may be able to embrace what he said, and it will give you life. And I encourage you, if that's the way you feel, talk with him. Get with him. And let him breathe life into you. And if that will help you be a better citizen, a better father, a better parent, a better neighbor, man, we all win behind that. Because here's what I'm telling you. This brother ain't sending out no burglars, no murderers. He ain't sending out nobody like that. If they're listening to what he says, they are better people. I happen to believe that I'm a better person because of Jesus. And I've seen Jesus work for me in my life. Why would I switch from something that works for me? Gerald, wrap it up. Tell me why somebody wants to get life from what you say.
Because when it comes down to it, there is an internal struggle in every single one of us. And we can talk about do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. We can talk about politics. We can talk about church buildings. I don't care about none of that stuff. Ultimately, inside your soul is a struggle. Now, if you want to believe that you're Hebrew or you're Muslim, look, ultimately, inside your soul is a struggle. We can sit there and be like, oh, no, I'm good. No. That's why there's such a move in our black community for mental health. Mm-hmm. There's a struggle going on inside your soul. And this battle that is going on inside your soul is when you have issues of infirmity, when you have things that you inherited from your parents, sexual morality, the curses from Deuteronomy 28. Yes, we need to walk in obedience to Yah. We have to come back to obedience. That brings our body back into its correct order.
I believe that 100%.
100%. We have to come back to commandments.
No, and that is the weakness of Christianity, because Christians, they can do anything, say I'm walking under grace, which is cheap grace, and that's why the church is being disempowered.
Although I confess to be a Christian, what I'm saying by those words is the fact that, I'm not denominational, and I'm not tied up in the fact of whether it comes to Christianity, you got so many denominations. So I stand on the fact of my faith and what I believe, man. As you spoke of your healing, I know what God has done for me and healed my body. So otherwise, I wouldn't be walking here and standing here today. So therefore, it, like you said, it works for me. It's where my faith is strong and what he has done in my life and what he's done for my family. I'm at all, you know. And I enjoy this conversation with everyone that's here, the ones that have the questions. I love the comments that my brother, he's a very educated man and spoke highly, great words and empowering. But yet, in the same token, where I'm at, my faith, my walk is with Christ, you know, he's, the blood still works, you know, and it worked on me. So that's where I'm at.
Amen. Tell me what you got, because I want him to wrap it up, because I know he's going to give us a good word.
Everything that's being said right now pretty much goes back to what I said earlier about how you can't really I said earlier verbatim that you can't tell a sheep man in India that his religion don't work for him if that's all he knows. Like I said, I think that everybody has like their own, I mean, I guess there is one truth. I guess everybody also has their own interpretation of everything. So like everybody up here is giving their own interpretation of everything. And I think whatever works for you, it just works for you. Like, Islam has worked for me. My life has been great. I haven't had any, like, pitfalls.
Keep living. Yeah. So, you know, like, a day to keep living. And that's not me speaking a curse to him. Life just happens.
Yeah.
Okay, Isha.
Well, praise Almighty Yah. This was a beautiful discussion. And it was great to see that people are still interested in knowing what a solution is. This is very important, 400 years commemoration this year. And that's the only place that's been spoken of is in the book of Yah, in the Genesis, the 15th chapter. And the solution, and I'll give us two scriptures. First scripture is Isaiah, the 29th chapter, the 13th verse. Because we cannot continue to do the same things we've been doing and expect different results.
Amen.
If you keep on doing the same thing you're doing and expect it to change, you know, that's called insanity, which
Amen.
Means it ain't going to work.
Amen.
Amen.
But this is what the Creator said in Isaiah 29 and 13.
Wherefore Yah said.
Yahweh said this.
For as much as this people draw near me with
he
their
said,
mouth.
My people, they draw near me, and we do. We draw near the Creator with our mouth.
And with their lips do honor me.
We honor them with our mouth.
But have removed their heart far from me.
Our heart is far from the Creator.
And their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men.
And we keep on learning things from men that do not represent Yahweh. But we gotta learn from the word of Yah. And this is the last thing, and here's the solution. It's in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. And I know my Christian ministers know this very well. But 2 Chronicles 7 and 14.
If my people.
He says, if my people. And we got to be real important about this. That Yah has a people. My people. And you are Yah's people. You are the people he's talking about. If my people.
Which are called by my name.
Which are called by my name. And what's his name? It ain't Christ. It ain't Muhammad. It's Yisrael. The name of Yahweh.
Shall humble
themselves. Stop saying, I'm just going to do what I'm doing. Humble yourself to the truth, to the word of the Most High.
And pray.
And pray to the Creator. Why are you praying? People have been praying to these guys that your ancestors didn't know, and they ain't helping you. You're going to walk out of here. You're going to get a student loan bill for $50,000. And you don't know how to pay it back, and they're going to hawk you for years. You're going to go back to school, get another $50,000 loan, and they're going to hawk you for some more years. You're going to go back to school, get another $50,000 loan. By the time you make $200,000 a year, you'll be 70 years old. And you're going to be praying to some God that ain't going to save you. But Yahweh can tell you how to get away from all of that. Pray to him.
And seek my faith.
Seek his faith.
And turn from their wicked ways.
And turn from your wicked ways.
Then will I hear from heaven.
He's going to hear you.
And will forgive their sins.
He's going to forgive you. He didn't say I'm going to send Christ.
Thank you,
really. He didn't say I'm going to send Muhammad. He didn't say I'm going to send Enoch. He said I'm going to heal them. I'm going to heal them. And I'm going to forgive their sins.
And will heal their land.
And I'm going to heal their land. And that's salvation.
He did say something.
Because salvation isn't getting blood pouring over you some metaphysical way, getting dipped in the pool. Getting salvation is being delivered from destruction. And in this place, and in this country, we face destruction every day. And if you want to be delivered from destruction, you need your own land. And Yahweh has a land for you. And it has laws, statutes, and judgments that go with it. And we got to follow them everywhere we're at.
Where's that land?
The land is the nation, is the state, not the state, but it's where Israel is today. But the land is the ancient land of Canaan. It's bigger than the state of Israel is today. It's over in Northeast Africa. It's not in the Middle East. It's not in Asia.
What country is it?
Called Israel. That's our land.
What's it called now today?
What's it called now today? The state of Israel, parts of Syria, parts of Jordan, parts of Egypt, parts of Saudi Arabia.
Okay, now I'm just talking about those people over there fighting each other.
Over something they don't own.
How are we going to get it then?
We're going to get it because Yahweh is going to give it to us. I just told
Where's
you the solution. Yahweh. Okay. Yahweh's the Navy, Yahweh's the Army, and Yahweh's the Marines. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Yah
is righteous.
Hey, anybody wants to talk to anybody, go ahead.
The Holy Scriptures is what you know is the Old Testament. And let me say this. I'm on Facebook. The House of Israel, Cincinnati. It's on Facebook. You can look us up. Our YouTube, is YouTube.com, House of Israel, Cincinnati. Praise the mighty God.
And I'm House of Israel, Ohio.com. This will be the end. I'll be the first one that comes up and put it on Google.